Our voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher tonight. We were talking about the day that Donald Trump became the 45th president of the United States. We were joined in studio by Harold Fisher, host of The Daily Drum. He was on assignment today covering inaugural festivities. Deborah Simmons, reporter for The Washington Times, and Dr. Michael Fontroy, associate professor of political science at Howard University. We'd love for you to join the conversation. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah Simmons,
yes.
We have a lot more time tonight to talk about Donald Trump, and we will. Mm-hmm. We will. But we also maybe want to talk about the guy who left office.
Yeah.
Still was on the scene. A lot of folks talking about him today. And so I want to
get to
Barack Obama, the former president of the United States. So we're going to talk about that this half an hour. Right now, though, let's go right back to the phone lines. And Debbie is on the line calling from Glen Burnie. Go right ahead, Debbie.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I didn't look at the inauguration ceremonies today because I'm deciding if I'm going to go to the march tomorrow. I'm almost 100% sure I am after hearing about the rioting and, you know, the incident this afternoon. It was a little concerning, but the bottom line, the way I look at it, and I've been looking at a lot of things on social media last night and today, and, you know, Donald Trump, to me, seems like he is just going to bark out demands and snap his fingers, because I don't think he's ever been under any heat, you know? I really don't think that he's ever been in a situation, per se, that he couldn't take his money and pay his way out or whatever. So when he says it's going to stop and it's going to stop now, that's a scare tactic to me. You know, I honestly worked at the polls for the election. And I already knew, I had a feeling that he was going to become the president. So I wasn't surprised when they announced it.
All right. So, Deborah Simmons, mm-hmm. He hasn't had anything too hard in his life. But so what? That didn't seem to matter. You know, he's the president.
Look, he's the president now. And I think it was Obama. And I want to make sure I quote him right. He said, give the guy a chance.
Hmm.
We don't have any option.
Okay.
So hello to those words. First of all, I want to make sure that we characterize what happened on the streets of D.C. today properly. That was rioting. Mm-hmm. I don't care what part of the country you're from, mm-hmm. what your racial, religious, or ethnic background is. That was rioting that went on the street. Take it, put it in Baltimore, it's rioting. Take it, put it in Ferguson, it's rioting. Take it and put it in Oakland, California, it's rioting. So we need to call it what it is, and I want to make sure the media does that, because that is our job and our responsibility, not to be biased. The second thing is that Donald Trump, and I think I said this when I was here before, I don't think he has the filter that would necessarily even allow him to come up with a line about not asking, don't ask your country what you could do for you, or even to be able to tweet the 136 words that George Washington did in his first inaugural address.
Right.
That is not Donald Trump. Donald John Trump, as he reminded us today, is not the type of political animal that we are used to in this country. So we need to get over that, pay attention to him, and stop letting social media tell us what he said and why. That's one of the reasons he tweets. This is what I mean. This is what I'm saying.
But hold on for a second. You can't not allow social media to say that, because that is his method of communicating.
No, I'm not saying don't allow it. I would hardly say that's my job. I have a job because of the First Amendment.
Right.
Okay. So I would not do that. What I'm saying is, if you're getting your news only through social media, which a lot of people do.
Right.
then you need to pick up a newspaper, you need to pick up a magazine, you need to watch the news so that you're not getting all of your news and information from one source. That's dangerous. Even the black newspaper, we figured that out a long time ago with the Courier, the Defender. We would have never been able to protest even the way we did and have a voice, strong voice, the way we did against lynching if we had not had the alternative black media.
I want to play a bite from President Trump's speech. Dr. Von Troy, I want to get your comments on this.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
Now, some would say America first are the operative words. What I hear is only.
And
many
only.
Yeah. And many could say he is sort of going backwards, sort of an isolationist approach, very nationalistic. That's the words I might use. How would you sort of describe that approach? And Deborah said, ooh, but I'll let you respond to that. You
know, when I hear that, I find it very interesting. First, he is one in a long line of prominent Americans who've said America first. You can go back 100 years and find people who've said that sort of thing. And most recently and most prominently is probably Pat Buchanan, who based his presidential campaigns on that. Mm-hmm. And so there is a market for that ideal. But the reality is the United States is so intertwined in so many things around the world. And there's so many people around the world who rely on the United States for a variety of things, that the idea of America first or America only, which is sort of how I interpret it as well, is really not viable. It's really not possible. And again, getting back to a point I made earlier, where I believe he's either naive or purposely ignorant, is that if you understand and you get enough briefings, you pay enough attention to America's interests around the world, you understand that you got to work with people. And if you don't work with people, you're not going to be able to get anything done. And again, he's going to come to realize that. And while he may say America first, the policies that will emanate from his presidency will not necessarily be America first.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the new administration, the new commander-in-chief, the inaugural address, the activities around it, the protest around it. We'd like to hear what you think. Let's go to the phone lines. Kenneth calling from Upper Marlboro. Go right ahead, Kenneth.
Good evening. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you.
I guess continuing to listen to what is being spoken about, so many things go through my head. One, I'm fearful of what he said in terms of, you know, crime will stop, you know, only America, you know, America first, you know, was taking a step backwards, in my opinion. Another thing I wanted to bring up was how is he so confident? How is he so confident as, you know, what's going to happen? There's more behind him, you know, then we know. You know, we see Donald Trump. We see him in office. He's the commander-in-chief. And as a country, we're supposed to support our commander-in-chief. Whatever he's doing wrong, whatever comes up, we're supposed to challenge him through the right channels. The riots that are going on now, you know, my first thing is, haven't we learned yet? So in the next 4 years, we need to devise a plan to get information out to everyone, all minorities, and explain how we're supposed to go about combating the negativity or the injustices that are going on in government.
Right. Thank you.
Biden does nothing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Keith. I think what might make it difficult is when he's saying get the message out to all minorities, which you don't have a monolithic group, which might make that kind of difficult. Let's go to Frank now calling in from Odington. Go right ahead, Frank.
Hey, how you doing? I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me say what I have to say on your radio station. I don't necessarily listen all the time, but I do listen. And this topic came up, and I wanted my nephew to hear this, that I love my country. And mm-hmm. I heard somebody else say this on social media again, even though my country doesn't love me back. I do love my country. I don't think I would be in the place that I am right now without the opportunities that this country has put forth for me. I am an ex-felon. I did spend some time in prison. I lost my job, I lost my house, I lost a lot of things that people hold on to, but I kept my faith, and I think that's what a lot of us need to keep when we're going through this with Donald Trump, is our faith. because Donald Trump is not for America. He can talk all he wants to talk about. It's America first, make America great again. That's not his intention. His intention is to get rich and to make other people rich.
All right, thank you.
He's not trying to do anything to make this country better.
Thank you, Frank. Harold, he's sort of going right to it. He says Donald Trump doesn't care about America.
I don't know whether or not he doesn't care about America. I think that's a bold statement to say, and maybe not wholly accurate. That's just my opinion. I would say that it's very likely that he still does care about business, and that he does care less about the institutions that he is now a part of. And that goes back to issues about, releasing his taxes, for example, letting us see transparently what is involved in his background. But he said during that first speech a week or so ago, when asked about it, he said, "I won," when past presidents that have released their taxes have not released their taxes because it was about winning or losing. He's not going to do it. And I think that is the first one of the many slaps in the face. It's like, I'm going to do what I want to do. And the reality is, whether it's the media or anyone else, he has done something that no other president in recent history has ever done. He has said no, and no one has been able to challenge him on it. He hasn't succumbed to any of the media pressure, and he is essentially, like they do in business, they bluster and they punk. And a lot of people have punted. And now we have to wait and see what happens between day one and whenever.
But I see this weight thing. I can't get with this weight.
No, it's not about weight.
No, no,
okay, so
no.
You mean it's going to happen tomorrow? No.
It began today.
But we're not going to see it at the parties. We're going to start seeing it when he starts really, really acting. And I beg to differ.
That's what I'm saying. It started today, Harold.
You're suggesting
he signed
what?
Legislation,
and
as other presidents have done on the first day in office. Do we know what that legislation say?
No.
Right.
And how can we force him to acquiesce?
You don't force him. We ain't never forced no president.
Let me let Michael jump in.
Dr. Fauntroy, come, please.
Then I'm going to go to Ann on the phone line. Doctor.
Oh, boy. So listen, history gives us a bit of a roadmap here, all right? The Democrats don't control the House. Mm-hmm. The Democrats don't control the Senate. However, you will recall that President Obama bent over backwards to try to get Republican support.
Or at least that was the visual of him.
On the Affordable Care Act. And no matter what he did, he still ended up with no support. The point, though, is Republicans forced him to make some compromises that he probably didn't want to make. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
What I believe. The Democrats, a United Democratic Party in the Senate, can do some of the challenging that you're talking about. Not going to win a lot, but they can make him work for everything he gets. And that could be useful in turning him away from a few things that he might have wanted to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying about waiting. I'm speaking philosophically. I'm not talking about wait forever. I'm just saying things are going to happen, but you're not going to hear it. You're not going to see it.
But he...
Hold on.
Hold
it, Ann. Because we want to get Ann in before we go to break, but I don't think we're going to catch her. So hang on, Ann. We're going to take a break. You and Deborah, I want to hear from you. Do we wait? What are we waiting for from the president? We are talking about the inauguration, President Donald John Trump, the 45th president of the United States. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the inauguration that took place today on the west side of the Capitol, Donald Trump becoming the 45th president of the United States. There were protests. There were supporters. There were parades still going on at this hour in front of the White House down Pennsylvania Avenue. What do you think about what Donald Trump had to say today and maybe the state of America as we move forward with a new administration? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. In studio with us, Harold Fisher, host of The Daily Drum. Harold was on site today during the inaugural festivities. Deborah Simmons, reporter for The Washington Times, and Dr. Michael Fontroy. Dr. Fontroy, for some reason, Michael, I can't get out of my mouth. Michael Fontroy, Associate Professor of Political Science at Howard University. The phone lines are still open. Let's go to those lines right now. Ann calling from Northeast D.C. Go right ahead, Ann.
Good evening. My comment to start off is mainly about the protests and rioting that had taken place today. I think that these people, they are thinking, and I'm not for any type of violence. I'm for peaceful protest if you're going to do it at all. But I think they feel as though that the peaceful protest is not getting them anywhere. And so they could possibly feel like, hey, we need to up this. We need to take it up a notch and do some stuff to really get some attention. And perhaps that's some of the psychology of how they're thinking. I don't know. But the other thing is about Trump. I think we have to get to a place where we have to strategize. We have to be smart. When he does things, we need to be ready to act on it because it seemed like he's getting a whole lot of passes, and we have to make sure that he's accountable. I think there could be an impeachment in his future if he, I mean, he has a lot of conflicts of interest in his business stuff. We have not seen his taxes. He has ties to Russia. There has been, you know, hacking. But I even thought that even before they start talking about him, when he won, I thought that Russia had a great deal of influence in making some of that happen.
Okay, Ann, I want to let the panel sort of dip into that because you're hitting a lot of things. You hit John Lewis. You hit taxes, which I don't think he will probably ever release because he doesn't need to. He's in office now. Why does he have to? And in terms of the protesting, and Deborah, I had mentioned this earlier that some of the protesters have said, look, we wanted to disrupt things. We wanted to break windows. We wanted to set cars on fire because we wanted folks to get the attention that we are upset, and we didn't want this to be a smooth transition
well,
for Donald Trump.
Well, see, you know why that's particularly disheartening? Mm-hmm. Because I heard Andy Shalal on Rock Newman's show just the other night about the peace rally, mm-hmm. and he made a point two or three different times, we are not an anti-Trump organization. We're not anti-anything. We are trying to peacefully pull people together and understand how hope and resistance can work hand in hand in what we want to have accomplished here. If we want to keep letting these jokers run around the country, busting up store windows, breaking into banks, setting off all of this stuff, we better start worrying about what our children are looking at in that, because you know I'm the new grandma today. New grandma,
first
new grandbaby,
right?
First day.
Right.
And what they may reap from what they're seeing and hearing on social. And that's like I said, that's frightening.
And does this help Donald Trump's point in some way, Michael?
Well, you know, actually, I was going to go there. The visual image is the single most powerful image that we can have.
Absolutely.
And so when there are people, you know, we're transfixed when we watch protest in Tiananmen Square in China or in a civil rights movement
right.
in the 1960s.
Right.
And we're moved by that.
Right.
Okay, so if it's done properly, that image can help galvanize a nation. In this case, I think that what we saw today only helped strengthen Donald Trump's hand and the beliefs of those people who support him who say, those millennials or those liberals or those progressives or whatever they call themselves are not patriotic. They don't really care about the country. They just want to cause havoc. And in that way, all you do is prove his point so the law and order piece takes on more resonance. And it gives a greater license, in my opinion, to disregard legitimate protests, peaceful protests, the kind of protests that seeks to hold him and his government accountable.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the new administration and the new president, Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ann calling from Alexandria?
Arlington. That's
or Arlington.
Yeah.
I see, too.
Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia is the safe bet. Yes. Go right ahead, Ann.
Good evening. I tell you, my biggest concern with Mr. Trump, President Trump, is the paradigm shift he's going to have to go through. And it's really going to be a eye-opener for him. And not only that, but based on what we've seen just in the past, say, year and a half, when he has lashed out in ways that really, you know, kind of make things questionable about him. And then, of course, you know, people voted. Well, I'm not going to say people voted him in, but the Electoral College determined that he was the president.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, he's the leader of the free world, but he's going to have to learn that he's also a servant to the people to a certain degree. He really is.
Well, that's a little of what Michael has been saying. But Harold, does he really have to have a paradigm shift? Because I think some would say Donald Trump is looking around going, same time during the campaign, they kept saying, well, listen, you have to act more presidential. You have to stop tweeting. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump said, this is what got me here. I don't need to change.
He also said, there's the swamp, drain it. And here are the people I want.
I don't think that there's going to be a paradigm shift.
Right.
He is who he is. And like you said, that's how he got elected. So, yes, I think that what you see is what you get. I think that those who did not vote for him, mm-hmm. those who do not support him, are the ones that are probably going to have to do the paradigm shift,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to have to understand who they have and not just what he says, how he says is how he says it, tweet or not. But there is one thing that I did want to say before the program ends. One of the most disturbing things, and I was personally offended mm-hmm. today, and this has nothing necessarily to do directly with Donald Trump. There was an Indian woman, East Indian woman, who was on the phone. I overheard her conversation, you know, olive skin, you know, long hair. And she came into the Potbelly store and her language was profane. She was angry, tears coming down her face. And this is what she said. She was talking to a friend and she said, I have been called a towel head by 3 different people this morning.
Make America great again.
And I think
that's where we are.
But we were doing, Americans were doing that long before Donald Trump came around.
That's not my point.
As president. Okay.
My point is that in 2013, the people that supported President Obama were not perfect. And in 2013, we saw them. In 2009, we saw them. But like I said, this was just a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if this is the kind of support, because she said she was just walking down the street and somebody's going to yell out, towel head. That's just like you walking down the street and somebody yelling out the N-word at you, and all you're doing is going to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I think that just paints a really difficult picture, and I just hope it does not portend for more of the same in the years to come.
Michael, you talked about images, though, but the pictures, when we looked at the TV screen, they were stark in terms of the differences
in 2009,
2013 at those inaugurations. Right. How do we...
Deborah and I talked about this before we came into the studio.
They got rid of the black people today. All the black people disappeared today.
So as I'm making my way through the crowds to get where I was supposed to be, I was taken aback by the stark differences between the 2017 crowd and the 2009 crowd. Today looked like yesterday's America to me. All right. Very few black and brown faces. All right. The sort of seemed like every other guy I saw had the Make America Great Again hat on. I'm telling you, you know, I don't believe that everybody who voted for Donald Trump is a racist. I do believe that every racist voted for Donald Trump. All right. And I'm telling you, the story you just told, Harold, is one that to me confirms again that Donald Trump's ascension and election has helped make it easier for people to be more overt with their hostility to people who don't look like
them. The people who was at on the National Mall and down at watching the our youngsters from middle school to high school to Talladega and them strutting their stuff after the parade today while the Trumps and everybody were in the White House viewing stand. Those folks on the mall that you saw were the people who went to the polls for Trump and not for Hillary.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's no question about that.
So we don't even need to compare 2009 to two. And if you looked at Hillary's face today, if you looked at Bill Clinton's face today, more importantly, and you looked at Joe Biden's face, it was like, we didn't do it. What didn't we do? We did not have coattails long enough to carry us into 2016.
Or maybe didn't let Joe Biden run.
That is well. Because I really don't think much of America was even paying attention to those. I don't, and I mean no harm to nobody for covering all those, conventions we had. 16 on debates. One stage, two on the, yeah, the debates and all of that. But I think we were paying attention to it because we want to and we have to. I don't think the majority of Americans were. Once you got it down to Hillary and the Donald, folks started paying attention. They also started paying attention to their wallets.
Well, that's cool, but Hillary beat them by 3 million votes. So what are we supposed to do?
And their mortgages. What? We do with it what the law tells us to do. That's what I'm saying. You don't wait until the last minute like the, begging her pardon, I can't remember her name right now. She was the statehood green candidate.
Jill Stein.
Thank you. You don't wait until after the election and say
we need a recount.
We want one here and here and here. Don't wait for it to happen afterward and then say, I want to lodge a complaint when your complaint is against the law.
Okay. In our last few minutes, and I do think imaging is very important. The image of what we see, Michelle and Barack Obama. And so we talked, talked about what Hillary was thinking, Bill was thinking.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Ooh.
Yeah, the tweets have been incredible. The side eyes have been
They said, I've got a minute, so we're going to leave it on that. But what do you think they were thinking? Right. Everybody go about 20 seconds.
Right, let me go quickly. My wife, who's a Michelle Obama lover, called me and said, Sister girl looked like she got a problem. She's not happy right now. And I'll just leave it at that. It was clear that she was less than excited to be there.
Yes, definitely. She was. And it won't be pillow talk because President Obama said, I'm not going to have the alarm waking me up tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're going to talk about it before they go to bed tonight. Okay. That's for sure. Bill and Hillary have something to discuss now because she deliberately had her pocketbook between the two of them so they could not hold hands when they were on their way to the swearing-in and when they were leaving the swearing-in.
I think there were just two words from Michelle Obama. Uh-huh. Man, please.
Necessarily man.
Trump did give her a kiss on the cheek as they were getting on to the helicopter. And it looks like she was trying to get on that helicopter before that happened. But
she was wearing track shoes. She was
All right. Well, today is a new...